Hello everyone, it's Mark Goodacre here. Welcome to the NT Pod, the podcast all about the New Testament and Christian origins. It's episode 116, and today I'm asking, was Paul converted on the road to Damascus? Questions like this might seem a bit silly, since it's one of those received truths about the New Testament that Saul, then Paul, becomes a Christian, is converted from Judaism to Christianity. When he encounters Jesus on the road to Damascus, he's got letters from the high priest, he's going to persecute Christians, but then he turns around and follows the person that he's been persecuted, that he's been persecuting. But there are details here that we need to examine, and we need to examine some of our own presuppositions as well. I mean, this story is, after all, one of those things that you hear a lot about in popular culture. You so often hear people talking about a Damascus Road experience, meaning something that is dramatic, or a real change in your life. Or people even talk sometimes, using the shorthand, a Damascene experience. So we use it to talk about someone that has a real life altering experience of some kind. And Paul's conversion becomes a model for other people's conversions across Christianity, across the history of Christianity. I'm teaching Paul this semester at Duke University, and it's the first time I've taught Paul in 7 years, so it's a little bit daunting. And I do like to revisit some of these key questions. And one of the questions that I like to really home in on is the extent to which we tend to base our picture of Paul on Acts of the Apostles. Because, you know, there are two places we go to in the New Testament to find out about Paul. One is Paul's epistles, and the other is the Acts of the Apostles. And because Luke, the author of the Acts of the Apostles, is such a gifted storyteller, we remember lots of these details that he places there. But sometimes to get the real story, we need to go to the primary source, which is Paul. And so I'd like to look in a moment at what it is about Paul's own writings that gives us some kind of insight into this whole question of Paul's conversion. So, does Paul talk about a conversion? Well, kind of. He doesn't use the word conversion. Of course, he's not writing in English, but I mean, he doesn't use a word that we would translate rightly, conversion. But what does he say when he first mentions it? Well, in 1 Corinthians 15, this is only a few years, probably, he's talking about a story a few years after Jesus' death. And in 1 Corinthians 15, he tells the whole story of appearances to Jesus. He tells a story about different witnesses to a resurrected Jesus, a story itself that I'd love to talk about on another occasion and in another podcast. But at the end of the list, he says something really striking. He says, "Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain." Now, one thing to notice here is that it's pretty clear that Paul sees this event as life-changing. It's massive. So I don't want to play this down at all. As to one untimely born, it's like he's gone back to being born again. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? But that's from another context. But it's like he's thinking about going back. It's like a prophetic call. But therein lies the key interesting detail, because it's like a call. And does Paul effectively think of this not as a conversion, but as a call? I tell you why it's important. It's easy when you use language of conversion to imagine that what Paul is doing is converting from one religion to another religion. And clearly this isn't the case. Paul does not stop being Jewish when he has this experience. He remains within Judaism. And in fact, there's a movement in scholarship now which uses this phrase, Paul within Judaism, to stress the fact that Paul remains Jewish. And what's more, Paul actually does describe this event as a call. So if we take a little look at the second mention, I'm taking it for granted here that 1 Corinthians was written before Galatians. Some people would disagree with me on that, but I'm taking for granted that Galatians is his second mention of this in the extant letters that we have. And it's really striking. He says, "But when God, who had set me apart before I was born and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with any human being." And then he talks about how he went to Jerusalem. So here he explicitly uses the language of calling. I think he sees himself a little bit like someone like Isaiah or Jeremiah that had a dramatic prophetic call that turned their life around. And it's interesting that like 1 Corinthians 15, Galatians 1 uses that same language of grace. So Paul leans into that language of grace, another topic which would be fantastic to explore on another day. So Paul is being called by the same God that he sees as being the God of the Hebrew Bible. Do you know, sometimes people talk about the God of the Old Testament as if the God of the Old Testament is different from the God of the New Testament. This is actually a kind of neo-Marcionite kind of way of looking at things. And Paul really isn't neo-Marcionite. Paul sees that God, the same God who called Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the other prophets, as the God that calls him. And so I think my fundamental answer to the question, is this a call or a conversion, is that Paul himself sees it as a call, but he sees it as a call that is dramatically transformative in his life. It's not just going on in continuity. It really is that important. And there's a detail here that we can miss if we lean too heavily into reading Acts of the Apostles, because when Acts of the Apostles tells the story of this conversion or call, we're already at Acts chapter 9. Jesus ascended into heaven in Acts chapter 1. So Jesus he's ascended for, you know, a third of the narrative of Acts of the Apostles. So when Paul sees Jesus, he's having a vision. He's having a kind of call vision, still kind of prophetic, like a bit like when the way Paul describes it, but it's a vision. He doesn't seem to be seeing the resurrected Jesus, for want of a better way of talking about this. But when we look at the way that Paul thinks of this experience, he absolutely sees it as a resurrection experience. Remember that in 1 Corinthians 15, he lists this at the end of a series of appearances of Jesus to other apostles, and now he's seeing it as an appearance to him. And he really feels that he has seen the resurrected Jesus. He doesn't distinguish between his own experience of the resurrected Jesus and that of other apostles, people like Peter and James and the 12 and all the apostles, the 500 and so on. And this issue in Paul of having seen the resurrected Jesus is something that he really insists on quite strongly. It matters a great deal to him. Look at the way he begins the epistle to the Galatians. He says, "Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead." The raising from the dead is connected with Paul's identity as apostle. Or look at 1 Corinthians 9, 1 and 2. "Am I not free," Paul says. "Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord?" So he links his apostleship to having seen the resurrected Jesus. It is the resurrected Jesus for Paul who has called him and has changed his life. It's arguable that this claim was quite controversial in the early church. I mean, Luke, as I said, doesn't seem to want to talk about Paul's conversion experience or call experience as being a resurrection experience. He tends to see it more along the lines of some kind of vision that happens post-ascension. And it looks like there were early Christians that doubted whether or not Paul was an apostle. Not everyone agrees with this, but there's a reading of Paul which suggests that his calling himself an apostle was actually disputed. But what about the other element? Was he converted on the road to Damascus? Well, Paul does mention Damascus in the immediate context of one of these stories. In Galatians 1:17, we get the notice. Paul says, let's set the whole scenario. What Paul says is that he initially, after his call, did not go to Jerusalem, but he went away to Arabia. And after being in Arabia, he then says he returned to Damascus. And it's interesting he says, this is Galatians 1:17, it's interesting he says he returned to Damascus, which might suggest that he was on the way to Damascus at that pivotal moment before, as Luke, in fact, then later in Acts of the Apostles says. But Paul doesn't describe it as on the Damascus road. And there's a reason to think that we should be a bit careful about zoning in too much on the road business here, because it is such an important element in the way that Luke configures things. Luke, in both his gospel and in Acts of the Apostles, sees the whole Christian journey as being a journey on the way, hodos in Greek, the road. It's the same word, road and way. When Jesus in John's gospel says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, it's that same word again. And in Acts of the Apostles, the early Christian movement is called the way, the road. When you look at Luke's gospel, you keep finding that key stories happen on the road. So it's the road to Bethlehem that's one of the most iconic scenes in Luke's infancy narrative. One of his most famous parables, the Good Samaritan, happens on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. The prodigal son in Luke 15 is similar, also has this concept of a road as being absolutely central. In fact, I've argued that one of the reasons that Luke does what he does in Luke 9:51 and following, the central section of his gospel, is because he's constructing this road narrative throughout the middle section of his gospel. This, of course, just proves that I can talk about any subject and still manage to find a way to make it relate to the synoptic problem. But I'm not going to digress. I do that too often when I'm teaching, and I'm not going to do it as often on the podcast. But what we're seeing here is one of Luke's distinctive theological and literary and rhetorical emphases. He likes to see the Christian life as taking place on a road, but also being like the metaphor of the road, the Christian journey as a road. And of course, that's been taken up by many Christians since. Think of Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress and countless other Christian works. And perhaps the iconic story of a road in Luke's gospel is the road to Emmaus. And then that's Luke 24. For those not familiar with it, do look it up. It's a story about how Jesus meets two followers on the road to Emmaus while they're in the process of puzzling out what has just happened in Jerusalem. And so when in Acts of the Apostles, we still have key stories taking place on the road, and then Paul's call or conversion taking place on the road to Damascus, we're seeing a familiar Lucan motif. He tells the story twice again, this story, once in Acts 22 and once in Acts 26, and the details are a little different each time. But what's common to them is this idea of the road. It's how Luke conceptualizes the way that you tell a good story as much as anything else. I also think that if you made a film of Luke's gospel, it really effectively would be a road movie. And I'm personally someone who absolutely loves road movies. So that's just a little bit of reflection on one of the most famous things we think we know about Paul, that he was converted on the road to Damascus, and saying, not that it's not true, but that like so many things when we're studying the New Testament, it needs a little bit of nuance, a little bit of tweaking, and that's what keeps people like me in a job. Well, thanks for listening to this latest episode of the NT Pod. It's always a pleasure to have your company. You can find me on the web at podacre.blogspot.com. If you want to watch the NT Pod, you can find it on my YouTube channel, which is found at Podacre. Always a pleasure to have your company. Thanks again for listening or for viewing. Bye-bye.